There is a name I love to hear, and as we come to look at our passage and our sermon today, may we in our own hearts and in our lives love to hear that name in which we pray and which I speak, that is the name of Jesus. And I pray this in his precious name. Amen. Please be seated. I don't really get jealous about many things in life, if really anything at all. But I have to be honest that one of the things I'm jealous of at the moment is the radio that has in her car. And yes, before anybody asks, I have thought of taking it out of her car and putting it into my car. But whatever way Skoda have designed the radio, there's three different separate parts and it's just not that easy. But yes, in a moment of green jealousy, I did think that it would look better in my car. Well, why am I jealous, really, is the question, isn't it? Well, it's one of those radios that you can, underneath the radio, you can plug your mobile phone into. Okay, I don't know whether some of your cars has this function. But basically, what happens is when you plug your mobile phone in, the screen of the mobile phone then comes up on the screen of the radio. I know that doesn't excite very many people. But as you know, I like my gadgets and that kind of stuff. And it's very handy because you can select your music from there. And you can select and use the screen for navigation using Google Maps. You can have the maps on the front of the radio screen. I'll come back to that in a few moments. Well, last Sunday we began a new sermon series where we were, in our own way, commemorating another anniversary. And that is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, 1517, when a Roman Catholic monk called Martin Luther urged the church to reform itself. As he looked at the European church, he saw an institution that had wandered from the heart of the gospel. So it's important to remember that Luther did not create any new truths or any new doctrines, but he rediscovered some biblical truths that over time had been lost by the church. And as a reminder to us today, these come down to us using five Latin phrases. I'll translate them in a moment. Sola Scriptura, Solus Christus, Sola Gratia, Sola Fide, and Sola Deo Gloria. Translated into English, this is what Luther wanted the church to rediscover. Because they assert that salvation is according to Scripture alone, in other words, what the Bible teaches. It is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, for the glory of God alone. And what I'm doing each week is really giving an introduction to each of these five truths that Luther wants the church to rediscover, so that we can think about them. And then I place an invite out that over the weeks of this sermon series, and the dates are on the order of service, we can come to the rectory either on a Wednesday evening from 8 to 9 or on a Friday morning from 11:30 to 12:30, and we can go a little bit deeper in what those Bible passages teach. One of the challenges, the frustrations sometimes that I feel in parish ministry is that invitation goes out to study God's word, and yet there seems to be an apathy. There seems to be, that's not for me. Well, let me put this in honest terms. It's not for Holy Joes. There isn't any great theological discussion in one sense, academically. But it's just God's people coming together and sharing together and gathering around God's word together, guided by some questions. It's a time of sharing, a time of fellowship, a time of encouraging each other as we seek to learn more about the God that is revealed through the pages of Scripture. So Wednesday evening, 8 to 9, Friday morning, 11:30 to 12:30, for an hour to come and to gather together. So let's go back to the maps and to the radio that I'm so jealous of. Well, when we're travelling anywhere, Linda is more old-fashioned in the sense that she loves to have the map in front of her. Anybody else like that when you're going on a journey? Yeah, you'd much prefer to have the map in front because you can say, well, there's where we are, and there's the road, and there's where we want to go. Yeah, is that probably where most people are? Whereas, as I say, I like the kind of gadgety stuff. I love to put the destination in my phone or on this radio. And when I put it into Google Maps, it gives me a route almost instantaneously. Don't have to sit and kind of work it out myself. And it actually gives two or three different routes, two or three different choices. And it's great, you can decide how you want to travel to that final destination. And depending on what route you pick, some are a little bit longer, but the road might be better. Some of the routes are shorter, but of course, the route might be twistier. And some of the routes that you pick might have a toll on them, so you have to pay to travel on that route. But no matter what the route is, the destination remains the same. Now, I want to use this illustration because many over time, and indeed one of the things that Luther, as I'll share in a moment, wants to challenge the church with, but many over time and today say that there are many ways to get to God. But it's the same destination. And I'm not necessarily talking about different faiths, although all of what I say today applies to that as well. But within the church, there is much human opinion, much discussion that says there are many ways to God. Some say, well, I can get to God by all the good things that I do. I live a good life. I always have. And by doing that, I can earn God's favor. I can earn God's approval. And that's one conversation, certainly. Or some say, I can pay my way to God if you want. Pay a toll. And I'll be all right with God. And there are many other philosophies. Many other opinions in between all of that. And it's into this that Martin Luther challenges the church then. And by extension challenges the church now, us today. Let me give you a couple examples. For example, the selling of indulgences was a common practice in his time. What is an indulgence? Well, Martin Luther pins his thesis on a church in Germany, in Wittenberg. Well, if you were to go to that church and you were to make a donation to that church, what was taught is that the bigger the donation, the quicker you would get to heaven. So you would get 100 days off your time between this life finishing and arriving in heaven. And the more you paid, the more indulgences you got, the more time off you earned in purgatory and so on. Essentially paying your own way to God. It was also common practice to pay money to obtain forgiveness of one's sins. So the bigger the sin, the more money you paid, and the more forgiveness you received from God. And then if you went on a religious pilgrimage, well, you got credit for that too. If you prayed to a particular saint, you got credit for that too. All of these things were giving leverage with God, earning God's favor. The better life that you lived, the more that you paid, the more that you did, the more that you indulge in, the more opportunity and chance you had of being with God in heaven. And as Luther, as a young man, begins to engage with Scripture and with passages like we're going to come to now, he obviously becomes more and more uncomfortable with some of the practices within his own church compared to what he sees the Bible teaches. So what does the Bible teach? Well, can I encourage us for a few moments to turn to 1 John chapter 2. In this epistle, the theme is set out and stated very clearly. It's a letter, essentially. And throughout 1 John, it is proclaiming the good news about Jesus. That's the theme, the good news about Jesus. And it is written to combat, in the time of Jesus, or just shortly after his death, resurrection and ascension, the increased threat of false teachings in the church. So it's been there for 2,000 years, hasn't it? And to reassure Christians of their faith and of their love in Jesus Christ. And as we come to the verses that we read, especially verses 1 and 2, I want you to notice how clear they are. They're not ambiguous. They don't want us or the need for us to second guess. But they're clear about our need of salvation. They are clear about how we are forgiven. And they are clear about how we earn our place in heaven. And again, as we come to the reverse, let me give us a reminder of last week's passage from 2 Timothy 3. It reminded us of the authority and the truthfulness of Scripture, which comes from the very mouth of God. Therefore, it is the source that we can turn to, the source that we can trust. If the Bible says it, then we don't need, in many ways, to listen to human opinion. So turn with me to the weekly sheet or the Pew Bible and just read quietly with me verses 1 and 2. This is what we read. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the world. No wonder Luther was concerned. These two verses tell us that yes, we are sinners, which we are. We are all in need of salvation. But, and if I could put a big capital B-U-T in bold writing and hold it above my head, but we don't have to worry. We don't have to earn our salvation. We don't have to buy our salvation. In fact, we can't earn it. We can't buy our way to forgiveness and to heaven. And then I would turn the card over and I would have the word because in capitals. Because on the cross, Jesus has already done that for us. That's the simple, straightforward message that we get from this passage. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. Isn't that good news? Isn't that amazing news that we don't have to buy, we don't have to do, we don't have to do anything? We don't need to pay. We don't need to earn our salvation. We don't need to go through any human authority to know God's forgiveness, to seek God's forgiveness. All we need to do is recognize our need of Jesus. All we need to do is come sincerely and honestly before him, to open our hearts and our minds to him, to confess our sins before him, and to know that we're forgiven. That's it. It's as simple as that. I cannot more plainly put that before us. John, writing the passage, cannot more plainly put that before us. Luther, in his challenging of the church, cannot put that more simply before us. And yet, I wonder, do we get it? Do we complicate what the good news is? A challenging quote from one of Martin Luther's sermons to finish with this morning. And of course, as this Reformation movement gets going, Martin Luther preaches this good news message, and this is what he writes. And this is what I want to finish with. What I'm telling you is that it is easier for us humans to believe and trust in anything else than in the name of Christ, who alone is all in all, and more difficult for us to rely on him in whom and through whom we possess all things. Solus Christus, in Christ alone. And of course, the message, the challenge, the question we all take away with us today is, who or what are we trusting in for our salvation? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just pray that the very straightforward message of the gospel would touch me afresh today, deeply in my heart. That would touch each of us afresh today, in the deepest places of our lives. That as we struggle and wonder, as we think about what salvation is, as we seek to be right with God, that we would know it's not something that we can buy, it's not something that we can earn, but it's something that is freely given to us in faith, that through Christ alone we can come to God, we can seek his forgiveness, and we can live as redeemed and free and grace-filled people. And I pray that would be what we would choose today, that we would understand that it is in Christ alone that we receive that, and in no other way. And I pray all of this through the one who has died for us and has atoned for our sins and made that way open to God again. Amen.